Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Jenna Morton.
And I'm Tosh Taylor. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about getting that youthful glow back and how to do it properly, because I know our watchers and listeners who are of the same age demographic as Jenna and I are probably starting to think about, man, I looked good when I was 25.
And now I was wondering where you were going with that sentence, because I'm like, that's not what I think these days.
What are you thinking these days? 30? 35?
Oh no, I thought you were going to say how good you look looking in the mirror. I'm like, oh no, I'm like,
Yeah. Not every day, that's for sure. Anyway, we've got with us today Ashley Moores, and Ashley is with Bloom Health and Wellness Studio in Riverview. She is the clinic nurse there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is exciting.
This is very exciting.
It is exciting. I wanted to talk to you about doing things like Botox properly, because there are some ways you can do it for a lot cheaper, but then it becomes dangerous. Yep. And I don't want to just talk about Botox. There are a bunch of other things that you can have done to your skin that maybe don't involve injecting toxins into your face.
Yeah, there's that.
But first, Ashley, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this field?
Oh, goodness. I didn't want to pay for my neurotoxin, so... I'm joking. The one thing about me is I will crack a joke at anything, but it really stemmed from that. I came from the Ontario market and moved into the New Brunswick market, and it is a whole lot different. There's a lot less of competition out here, so the prices are a little bit higher, and I decided, honest to goodness, I decided to get into this because I knew I could do it. But to save myself a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Is that terrible?
No,
not at all.
That's why Jen and I do what we do.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I want to start a podcast. I don't want to invest in the equipment I need, so I'm going to befriend Tosh. And here we are.
There we go.
Totally understand this concept.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But to clarify, you are a registered nurse.
I'm a licensed practical nurse, actually.
Okay.
But in the world of aesthetics, and I know this is going to cause some controversy, but I see no difference in the two other than a little bit of skills. Like here in New Brunswick, LPNs can't deliver sclerotherapy, which are the little spider veins, those kinds of things. But really, our scope is generally the same when it comes to aesthetics, and we're all learning that. When you learn nursing, it's scope specific, but when you learn aesthetic nursing, it is aesthetic nursing. So it doesn't, like, and I mean to say this nicely, but it doesn't matter whether you're an RN or an LPN, and you wouldn't know the difference.
No, I don't.
Exactly. I know there's a difference, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So you train specifically, though, to learn how to be an aesthetic nurse.
Yes.
After already having a
my nursing. So yes, so you have to have theory-based practice as well as hands-on training. I was really lucky. There's not a lot of people in this province that have the opportunity to work under such a great medical director like my Dr. Jennifer Sinclair. She's fabulous. So I was very lucky to have a mentor as well as a leader in this industry that has a lot of wealth of knowledge. She's been in it for over 9 years now, so she's rocking it.
Yeah, and she and you together have Bloom in Riverview, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, she does. She owns it. I'm like, yes, it's mine.
Don't tell Dr. Jennifer.
Don't tell Dr. Sinclair.
Can you talk a little bit about, I think there's probably a lot of people out there who, like me, don't quite understand the difference between like aesthetics, like I'm going to get a manicure, and aesthetics, like I'm going to have a nurse actually inject me with something or do a procedure that is medical.
Okay. So the difference between aesthetics with like facials and manicure, pedicure, is that we, Botox, fillers, those types of procedures are considered medical procedures. So not your regular esthetician can go in and do them. There's consent. There are potential contraindications, which means that you might not be a candidate for Botox or fillers. So we need to determine those medical reasons as to why. So when it comes down to it, it's more of a medical thing. So for nurses or doctors or nurse practitioners to be able to administer Botox or fillers, that's what I would consider medical aesthetics.
Okay. And to clarify, you are not legally allowed to do that if you don't have a nursing license. Is that correct? Or a doctor's?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not allowed.
Not allowed. So if you find a cheap deal in a basement somewhere,
question it.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love it when patients come to me and ask me for my credentials. A lot of people do get surprised when I say I'm an LPN because here in New Brunswick, LPNs and RNs, there's been that toss about yeah. whether or not LPNs are real nurses. We are. surprise. but that has been the old way of thinking, and we kind of need to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you said that you need to decide if people are a candidate or not. What makes them, let's just give a short couple of things that would make you not someone that could get Botox.
In Botox in general, we're looking at people who are pregnant or breastfeeding, so our women. and then we look at whether or not you have any muscular issues, so neuromuscular issues. So if you, let's say, have muscular dystrophy, you wouldn't be a candidate for Botox. Some certain medications you can't get Botox while on. And then Botox, obviously, like any medication, there's a list of ingredients that you could potentially be allergic to. So we dive deep into your health history, we review it, and we go over risks associated with Botox. So those are some just off the cuff reasons why you wouldn't be able to get Botox.
Okay.
And staying with that kind of medical stream, are there medical reasons someone would be wanting to get Botox? I think a lot of people still have that, like, oh, it's for like the rich socialites who want to look young. But there are a lot of people who are coming to you for various reasons.
There are a lot of people that come to me for various reasons, and I refer them to Jen because she's the physician that can do all of the therapeutic Botox consultations. So therapeutic meaning migraines, TMJ. So if you have clenching of your jaw, any kind of jaw pain, she'd be able to do that full health history. And then hyperhidrosis, whether it's in your hands, your feet, like mine are sweating right now.
I was like, what does that even mean? I don't know. I know that term.
Sorry, sweating.
That's okay. No, I'm like, hyperhidrosis, what? This is a new word for me.
I like so much better than saying you sweat through your shirt.
I know. Yes. I'm going to start pulling that one out all the time.
Excuse me, I have hyperhidrosis right
now. It's that funny way of saying, like, hey, I'm
a little.
So it's actually the medical term hyperhidrosis is excessive sweating. Okay. So that excessive.
Yeah, when it's an actual medical issue that it's causing you concern.
But the reason why I don't treat, like I can treat it, I'm capable of treating it, but the reason why I refer these patients out to Jen is because she can get to the root of the cause. So if you start excessively sweating, say 2 weeks ago, and you're like, oh, I heard that Botox can fix this, we want to know what caused that. Mm. We don't want to just fix, we want to know when it started, what's, and you know, the steps that you've taken to, and like other investigations to kind of slow that. So there are reasons. We are still medical. We need to assess people on a medical, from a medical standpoint.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So can you explain, because it is a little bit freaky, as you referred to Botox earlier, and this is probably why they changed the name to Botox, is a neurotoxin.
Yeah.
And to me, okay, neurotoxin, I don't like the sounds of that at all. What is it doing?
So you're not going to like the sounds of any of what I'm going to say next.
Perfect.
I'm one of those people that will give people information almost too much, and I feel like I scare them a little bit when it comes to it. But you need to know the risks associated with taking these kinds of medications. So Botox is that generic name, but it's actually derived from a deadly bacteria. Funny enough. Yeah.
Oh my
right?
God.
That doesn't scare you.
No, not at all.
I'm going to still try it.
Yeah.
But it's obviously made in a laboratory. It's cleansed. It's very well taken care of when you purchase from an authorized prescriber.
That's actually another thing we should touch base on after this, but to finish explaining what it is, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So Botox was actually, and this is kind of a funny backstory and history of Botox. It was first approved in a study in 1979. So it's been around for a while. In 1979 for cross-eyed.
Yeah, huh,
to
interesting.
Fix the cross-eyed. And there's a funny word for that that I'm not going to throw out there because...
It's not good. Okay. Yeah. we don't use that term anymore.
No, we don't do okay. that. No, they do. It's just a funny medical word. And then eventually, the beautiful thing about when things evolve and start to grow, they... Oh, we can use this for this, and oh, we can use this for this. So in 1989, it was approved, FDA approved for cosmetic reasons, and then they kind of just started snowballing from there. I don't know where I was going.
Yeah. What? Yeah. So what? Explain what it does. What does it do
okay.
to,
so
to
when
get
you
rid
say
of your
neurotoxin? Yeah. It actually affects the nerve. So to break it down so simple, I like to say when we're injecting neurotoxin into the muscle, it stops the nerve signal to the muscle to make those movements that create these dynamic lines.
Dynamic lines. Love it. Yeah.
And I'm due. So it stops the conversation only for a little bit because our bodies are so cool that everything kind of builds itself back up, and that's my easiest way of explaining it. It temporarily paralyzes the muscles. Typically, some people can see anywhere between 3 to 4 months of no movement. And yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then let's go back to you mentioning getting it from an actual reputable location at your facility and anywhere else, you have to get Dr. Sinclair to get it for you, correct?
Yes. So Dr. Sinclair would be the medical director of the clinic, and that medical director has to sign off with a company. So we are using Botox, so we'll talk about Allergan. So Allergan is a company that distributes Botox and is the only distributor for Botox. And so those are the people that she has to send her credentials to then purchase. So as a medical director here in New Brunswick, you can be either a physician, and that covers the umbrella of dermatologists, plastic surgeons, and a nurse practitioner.
Okay.
So I can't just go out and purchase Botox. So
right.
if you're getting it from, you know, someone, they have to have a medical director that oversees that.
That's getting it from them. Mm. Is there a black market for Botox? There must be.
I wish there wasn't.
Exactly.
But there is.
Yeah. Okay.
And so what the scary thing about it is when we go back and we actually think about what Botox actually is and what it's derived from, which is a deadly bacteria, if we're getting it off the black market, there are a lot of risks that are associated with that aren't necessarily know because we don't know what the product is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Interesting.
Speaking of risks, are there risks around? I mean, I would think like any medical thing, there's always a chance of risk of whatever, but in general terms, what are the kind of risk factors of coming, if you were to go through the medical part first and get
approved, you're good. So if I were to sit down, say we're having a consultation right now, and now we're to run over the risks, the first thing I'm going to tell you is there's a risk for swelling and bruising because I'm sticking needles in your face. That's terrible. I'm sticking needles in your face.
Yeah, as someone who does not like needles, let's not go there.
They are tiny. I'm going to tell you that. So
just close your eyes. You won't know.
Yeah. Little pinch. Not like I'm already recruiting you. I'm like, so.
It would take
you know
a lot.
Where we are. No, just
when I first met Ashley, she goes, she does her consultation for something else, and then she goes, and could I give you Botox? And I was like, ouch, that's like, so you're telling me I need it. Awesome. Okay.
For me, I would have a hard time getting over the needle part, but anyway, that was not the question.
That
was
not the story. Not me going off onto a whole other tangent.
That's what we do all the time.
That's how we roll.
I love it. Yeah.
But risk factors.
Swelling, bruising, redness around the site. Some people can have allergic reactions because obviously some people don't know what their allergies are. And then they're like, oh, by the way, I'm allergic to eggs. Things like those. So they can have a little bit of, you know, redness, swelling at the site. And then more serious adverse events. And I'm sure you see the scary, scary things in those high, high doses of neurotoxin are those, you know, when you get complete, and everything comes back with Botox. So your muscle movement will like I said, it will come back over time, but you can lose the use of some certain muscles. So if it gets into a muscle that it's not intended to go into, and I'm sure you've seen pictures and photos online of people with brow ptosis. So where your brow is not moving and it's actually dropped down because whoever's
in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily a nurse thing, or it could be a combination of both nurse or patient not following aftercare instructions. It really depends. So important to go to to someone who knows what they're doing,
yes.
Right? Because they know the muscles of the face and what to avoid, but they also know what to tell you. So if we go too far over in certain areas or too low, we can hit, and I'm just talking upper face, hit the brow, drop the brow, or hit the muscle that actually holds the eyelid up. And you got that droopy eye, and one eye is overcompensating, so it's super wide. It looks funny. Good thing is, I have never seen that in my practice, but I see a lot of it online. But it can happen, and people need to know the risks. Yeah.
And what happens if that? Can you dissolve Botox if it's been put in? No, you have to wait until it wears off. Okay.
So once it's in, you're not going to see the effects right away. So how Botox works is we inject you, and then the neurotoxin gets its way of cutting off those conversations between the nerves and the muscles. So it starts to work, and it takes up to 2 weeks before you see the effects of Botox. So you may think, whew, I got the best injections, and in 2 weeks' time, you got a drop-sided eye or brow or something like that. So that's why it is important to have a two-week follow-up with your nurse or your nurse practitioner or the physician that you're seeing, because especially when you're new to me, I don't know how your muscles work. Everybody's different, so yeah.
Okay, and then the same would go if you went in for migraines, I suppose, or the high sweating.
Absolutely.
You would be injecting it into muscles in like under the armpit or into glands?
So the cool thing, yes, okay. Exactly. You got it right there. The cool thing about the injection for sweating under the armpits is that we are trying to target those sweat glands.
Okay.
So we're trying to slow down that process of sweating. So it's kind of cool in that way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we will get you back and reassess whether or not that's been effective. And it typically can last up to, some people I see only come in every 6 months for hyperhidrosis. So it really depends on your insurance and how that's covered. Yeah.
So would most of what you do be covered for people then, because it's a medical procedure?
So if we're not doing it for cosmetic purposes, then yes, but it has to go through private insurance. And I don't quote me on this because
everyone's is different and every plan is different. Yeah. But potentially, you might be covered under your insurance for some of these things if it has to do with migraines or sweating or...
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to talk about other things that people are coming into the clinic for. I'm going to assume fillers is a big thing. Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
So fillers is something that you do. I went, as I alluded to earlier, I'm going through the Morpheus 8 process with Ashley.
Yes.
And that is a scary sounding system.
It's like, what?
I know. I'm going into the Matrix. And you explain what it is, because it was really neat. And way quicker than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Was it painless? No, I'm just kidding.
No. No. But it wasn't that bad.
So Morpheus 8 is radiofrequency microneedling, and that's a big mouthful when you talk about it. But literally, it's 24 gold tip needles that go under your skin.
You also won't like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, already I'm like, nope.
But we have non-invasive procedures that we can...
Like I don't think there'd be anything that would happen to me that feels like I need to do that.
Fair. So the 24 microneedles, they omit heat under the skin. And what happens there is it sends a little bit of heat and causes a little bit of an ablation under the skin. And that stimulates your body's immune response to start to kick into high gear and say, let's get these good cells starting to stimulate collagen and elastin. In some beautiful beautiful results can have lessening of those fine lines because of those, the cell regeneration stimulation. But there also are risks associated with radiofrequency microneedling, like hyperpigmentation. So if we damage the skin to a point where your skin's response is like, oh my goodness, you can see some darkening spots in this area. You can also get burns in untrained hands, scarring, and those kinds of things. So there, like, again, there's risks. And I feel like that's all I ever talk about when I talk to people that are new to coming in to me. But you really need to be well informed, because consent is a big thing in this industry. If you're not providing informed consent, then it's not a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, okay, so what else are we offering? Do we want to talk about fillers at all? Is that's got to be something that people of our demographic are getting into? I don't know what you use fillers for. Tell us, what do you use fillers for?
Jenna's like, oh my God.
Oh, more needles. Yes. I do have a concept of them, but
yes. And I will touch base on non-needle modalities, I promise, to keep your skin useful. I promise you that. But yes, fillers. We use fillers because as we age, our fat pads tend to, you know,
they shift, they go
down. They start to settle in areas that we don't
like. Right here.
Yeah. And then they get heavier in here. And my most gut response, oh my gosh, my most common request is to reduce the appearance of smile lines. Mm-hmm. But that's a normal thing as we age. Our fat pads, our medial cheek pads, our lateral cheek pads, they kind of sag down and they move in. And guess what doesn't ever go away?
These things. You need your cheeks, right?
Yeah. So the requests for fillers are to fill or replace volume that's lost. It's never to, like, when I talk about filler, I never say we're going to lift any of these things. Because if you want to lift, you're going to go to a plastic surgeon who's reputable.
Reputable?
Wow, say that 10 times. Yeah, and then you'll discuss those things. I'll never take on a patient that, like, I'll have a serious, frank discussion with them that expects facelift results. Because then I'll say,
it's not going to happen.
That's not what you do.
Yeah. It's not what I do.
Yeah, okay. That's a whole other topic for a whole other day with a whole other person.
Yeah.
That's true.
Absolutely.
But speaking of another day,
we're
going to have to continue this conversation another day.
It's beautiful.
If people want to reach out to you, find out more about what you do offer, those non-needle options, how do we find you?
Like skincare and SPF, two ways to keep youthful. But you can find me on Instagram, Silver Injector, actually.
Yeah.
This is natural, just like yours. Yes. We're Silver Sisters here. Gosh, I'm so weird.
I love it.
So my handle is at Silver Injector, all one word. And you can find the clinic at Bloom_health_studio on Instagram as well. And there's links all to our website information, how to book from there.
Awesome. Excellent. Cool. Thank you for coming in today and for sharing this information. I feel like it's very important information for people to know. So we'll probably have you back maybe after my results start to kick in.
Ooh,
cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks everyone for watching and listening, and we'll see you again next week.